Today on episode number 372 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcement, which you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/372, I've got a tool that's going to make Blog Talk Radio obsolete. Yeah, I'm a little happy about that one. We've got an interview with a podcast pioneer, a member of the Mommy Cast. They're the podcast that were the very first podcast to get a six-figure ad deal. And we've got a follow-up question on the Seismic Audio Mixers. And we've got a Because of My Podcast story. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Podcasting since 2005. I am your personal podcast coach. Thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, this is where I wipe away the fear of launching a new podcast. You are never alone on your journey to podcast success. We talk about all things podcasting, from planning to promoting to producing to getting it into iTunes to what gear to use. It's all here because there is one place, brothers and sisters, on the internet. If you want to start a podcast that has everything you need, and that is schoolofpodcasting.com. Now, if you want to join in on the conversation, I would love to have you. I would be tickled pink. You can call me. It's toll-free. It's 888-563-3228, courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. You can also email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can, got a microphone? Yeah, just go out, click on the little microphone button out there at the website, and you can leave a voicemail. That's how we got our Because of My Podcast story today. And last but not least, this is how we got our question today. You left a comment on the blog. And, of course, our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. Well, I always like to start off the show with a little bit of podcast success or podcast news. And today we have a story. Wait till you hear about this. Number one, it's from across the pond. It's on Australia. Listen what Adam's up to.
Hi, Dave. My name is Adam, and I am the host of the In All Airness podcast, which is inallairness.com. Now, my podcast focuses on Michael Jordan era NBA, and because of podcasting, I've been very fortunate to be able to speak to some great NBA players from the past in Michael Jordan's era, including some NBA All-Stars, even Christian Laettner, who was a member of the USA Dream Team in 1992. So podcasting has opened up a number of doors for me. And as a huge fan of basketball, I just thought, well, why don't I just start my own podcast? I wasn't hearing exactly what I wanted to hear in terms of podcasts for my area of interest. And I thought, well, let me just try and start it and see what happens. Now I'm up to almost episode 30, having a great time. And even though I'm in Australia, I'm using the power of the internet to be able to connect me to all these different great players and coaches and media personalities from the NBA that has passed, but I consider the golden era. Thanks for all you do for your show. I really enjoy listening each week and thought I better contribute my own Because of Podcasting story. So once again, Dave, great job, and I look forward to many more episodes in the future.
Adam, thank you very much. I deeply appreciate that, and I'm with you on that. I remember the good old days of Bird and Magic and Kareem and all those. What was the guy on the Celtics? The big tall guy with black hair. That guy. There's a bunch of people screaming at the McHale, that guy. Yeah, I remember that good old days. I'll definitely be checking that out. And how cool is it that you get to interview your heroes, all right? People that you idolized. I tell you, you are the media when you have a podcast and you present yourself in a professional way. It's very, very cool. Well, I also like to spotlight a member of the School of Podcasting, and you can find Tema at, it is Frank, I always get this wrong, frankonlinemarketing.com. And it's, you know, it's a marketing company pioneering internet success. Now, here's the cool thing. They've gone niche. It's all about Canadian companies. Check this out.
Welcome to the 39th episode of the Frank Online Marketing Show. I'm Tema Frank, your host. Thank you, IBM, for your continued support of this show. I'm really excited to bring you today's interview with Harley Finkelstein, who is the Chief Platform Officer of Shopify. Shopify is a platform that thousands of businesses are using now to create stores to sell online. Shopify is both a Canadian success story in itself and one that is helping to create other Canadian success stories. And in this interview, I get Harley to talk a little bit about both their journey and the journey of their customers and others who want to sell online. The company started in a serious way in 2006, and it was a major pivot from another business. And I'm not going to give away the fun by telling you what that is, but you'll find out in the interview. It was quite a change in direction brought about by customer demand.
There you go. Well, Tema, continued success with your podcast. And you can find her again at frankonlinemarketing.com. All right, next up, I'm actually going to play a clip I recorded last week, and it would have made last week's show just a marathon. So again, here's that thought again. Sometimes it takes discipline because I could have made a two-hour show, but then I would have had to scramble to find more stuff for this week. And I found a tool. One of the things that, if you're new to the show, I hate Blog Talk Radio. It is well documented that I hate Blog Talk Radio. Their audio is awful. They control your content. But the one thing you cannot argue about Blog Talk Radio is the fact that they have this great system where people can call in and you can manage who's online and you can mute people and things of that nature. They got this great software where you can manage your callers. Well, guess what? I found something that makes that obsolete. Here's what I'm talking about. Check it out. All right. As you know, I have been playing around on Saturday mornings and recently been joined by Jim Cullison of TheAverageGuy.tv. And we're doing, we just talk a little podcasting. Sometimes it's stuff that I cover here as well. But sometimes it's just me answering questions, which again, often I answer over here as well. And, but it's live. It gives me a chance to interact with people live, which is kind of fun. And I found this resource. It's Call In Studio. And this is the one thing that, dare I say the words, Blog Talk Radio does well. It offers a system for people to accept phone calls and have people on hold and that whole nine yards. Well, guess what? This is the Blog Talk Radio call killer. And I've played with it just a little bit. Haven't used it in a live setting yet and plan on using it this coming Saturday. Not this coming Saturday. This week's coming Saturday is the 7th. And I believe I'm not podcasting that Saturday. I have a gig with my band that afternoon and I won't be able to do the show live this Saturday. But it will be definitely, I'll be using it in the future testing. I'm going to use it for like a month. So my guess would be like the 14th of September, something like that. And here's what it does. You first of all, they give you $10 free credit to use the system. Well, that's great because to use the system, like you can log in for a number and your guest can log in and you can record the call. Now, the call recording, at this point, so... Again, every kind of phone service I know of that records a phone call, because again, it sounds like a phone to start with, and then the actual quality is usually kind of eh. But we're not talking about using this as a call recording. We're talking about I want to have people call me live. So here's what it does. You basically you have to buy a phone number for them to call in. Then that gets you go in and you say, I want to start the show now. And you basically call into the host line. So you're there. So if somebody calls in to your call-in number, they will connect you from phone to phone. Now you're like, but Dave, I'm talking into an Audio-Technica 2100. Well, this is where you need a Skype premium account so you can call computers from your, so you can call, phones from your computer, or you're going to be dialing in your cell phone. So if you do, an hour long podcast every week, that's 240 minutes of your phone bill that's now dedicated to podcasting and nobody may be calling in. So that's why I like the Skype version. You pay one fee and you can have unlimited minutes, and that goes that way. So you dial in to their system via a phone in one way or another, via from your computer or an actual phone. Then you can't do this without purchasing a phone number for your podcast. Now, depending on how you do this, I actually was going to take my normal call-in number, my 888-563-3228, and forward that to the my new phone number, which then would go into this system. That's one way of doing it. I'm not real crazy. The thing about buying a phone number is when you give that out on a podcast, if people go back and listen to your back catalog and you don't have that phone number anymore, you're kind of out of luck. And you have to always, you know, make sure to update it on your website and things like that. But nonetheless, the fees are, it's $6 for the podcast, the phone line. So that leaves you like $4. Then when you call in to do a show, they're going to charge you 3 cents a minute, or it will be 6 cents a minute if it's toll free. Okay. And, phone numbers are $6 a month and toll free numbers are $12 a month. All right. So if you're doing toll free, you're spending $12 a month plus 6 cents a minute. Now, what's fun about this is it's any call in to. So let's say that you're doing something and you're talking about blah, 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 and you've got two people online at 3 cents a minute. That means it's 6 cents a minute. And maybe your opening line is, 15 minutes and then you're ready to take calls. Well, they've been online waiting for you to come. Well, you just spent, 90 cents, almost a buck. So the thing is, people, you can have up to 35 callers. Now, if you do 35 callers, that is basically $1.05 a minute. So in theory, if you do an hour long show with 35 callers, that would be, $60 and some change. So it can be expensive. Now, the thought is, hey, once you call and ask your number, get off the phone. You're costing me money. But they can listen to your show online. Now, you can turn that off so that when they're not online, they basically hear music. But then be ready for them to. Because then when you go into the system and you can mute people, you can then say, yes, put them on the air. If you want, you can actually have somebody, a screener, go in and what would you like to talk to Dave about? There's actually a guest number, a host number, and a screener number. So they can actually call in, and while that person is muted, they can call in and talk to that person and say, yes, what would you like to talk to Dave about? And then they can go in and put notes in the system. So then the host, whoever is deciding who to take calls or not, can see on the screen, it's Steve from Poughkeepsie. He wants to talk about Beatles music in a podcast. And then you can go in and say, okay, you're on the air, Steve. This is Dave. And Steve can go, right? Baba Booey. And then hang up. Right? Keep in mind, it's live. So it is a system. If you're looking for something to kind of replace Blog Talk Radio, you want to do your own show, but you still want to have phone calls in. So let's think about this a second. If you are a displaced morning radio team, right? And you do a 3 hour show, that's 180 minutes just for you to call in, is going to be $5.40 an episode. Again, if you're doing this 5 days a week, that's $26. But let's say you had two callers and they both were on the show for the entire show, 60 minutes. That would be, you're looking at 6 cents a minute, $3.60 per episode. If you do four episodes a month, that equals $12, $13 and some change. So you're looking at, again, $6 a month, $12 a month if it's toll free, 3 cents a minute for local numbers, 6 cents a minute if it's not. The nice thing about toll-free numbers, they can be called via Skype overseas, and for them, it's still free. So that would be $12 a month. And in that case, if we did that, two people for 60 minutes, you're looking at $7.20 an episode. So again, depending on what you're doing, this can be something that could add up the more people you have call in. But again, the more people you call in, the bigger your audience, then you have a better chance to monetize that. So you control how many callers to have on hold at any given time. Busy signals are free, so that can be anywhere between 1 and 35 people. Once your lines are full, additional callers will hear a busy signal. You can have a password-protected guest line for special guests to call in and bypass the call queue. So a lot of radio stations say, hey, you called the hotline, and that'll put him right in. You may have one or more people screen calls for you and enter notes about the call for the host to read. You can make an outbound call to a guest or guest directly from your session and connect them to your show. Now, again, anybody you connect, going to be 3 cents a minute or 6 cents a minute if it's toll-free. And when your show is offline, listeners calling your show leave a voicemail. Now, for the record, that one, if you have it to where they can leave voicemail, it's 3 cents a call. I'm not sure. I guess the longer the voicemail, the longer you get billed for it. All telephone prompts are customizable. So you can say, sorry, we're not online now. It's Binky and the Wiz. Binky, you're so crazy. Right? And sit there and have them leave the message. Or you can just put in default text. And they have a fairly human text-to-speech converter. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and call my number here. We're going to test this to hear what it sounds like. I got my...
Thank you for calling Ask the Podcast Coach. Unfortunately, this show is currently offline. If you wish to record a message for the show, press 1. Otherwise, hang up.
So that's obviously not a real person.
Please record your message after the tone. When you are done recording, press the pound key or hang up.
This show is for... This message, man, is for Binky and the Wiz. I think you guys rock, man. Our morning show in Cleveland is awful. We want to bring Binky and the Wiz to morning radio in Cleveland. Keep up the good work, man. You rock. What did he say to press pound?
Thank you. Your message has been recorded. Goodbye.
All right. So let's hear what that sounded like. All right. So I log into their website. I can see I have one voicemail. I can see the phone number of the person that called. That's kind of cool. I can download an MP3 file. I can download a WAV file, or I can go in and actually delete the message. So it gives you different options. I believe I could actually play it right here from the website. So let me try this here. I'll click on WAV, and here comes my voicemail message. The website is kicking in.
This show is for this message, man, is for Binky and the Wiz. I think you guys rock, man. Our morning show in Cleveland is awful. We want to bring Binky and the Wiz to morning radio in Cleveland. Keep up the good work, man. You rock.
All right. Well, we heard that the first time. So, yeah. So as I look at these files, the MP3 file is 32 kilobits per second, which is half CD quality, recorded at 22 hertz, which is kind of half the sample quality mono, which means caca. And the WAV file is 8 hertz at 16-bit mono, which again is pretty awful because when I record things in a WAV file, it's like 44.1 as opposed to 8. So that's why things are not going to sound great. This is why you wouldn't want to use them to record your show. But in terms of getting calls on the air, and if you want to have, you know, you could play those. Those aren't any worse than the things I get on Call 8, the old podcast voicemail.com system. But it's an option, right? So you can. Now, if you don't want to accept voicemail, you can easily go into the dashboard and go into configure and say, look, if somebody calls, you can actually have it. Here's your options. Busy signal. Those are free. Play recorded message, which, of course, that means if somebody connects, you're charged 3 cents a minute for every minute they're connected. You could record voicemail, which is what I just did. And I can also record voicemail and notify me via email. So depending on the scenario, you know, you can have it do that. Now, you do have the ability, they give you $10 when you first show up, and that gives you enough to buy a phone line and start playing with the system. And in my case here, as I look at that, that inbound message just cost me 3 cents. Again, not a big deal. I have $3.49 left on my account, when you go in, if you want to add more money so you can keep using the system, you basically, the smallest amount you can add is $25. They do take PayPal. If you do a deposit of $100, you'll receive an extra $10 credit. Deposits of $250 will receive extra $50 credit. So if this is something you're going to be doing a lot, you may want to look into that. But it will be interesting to see how long, as I put some money into this, I'll probably throw in $25 and give this a shot. We'll see what it does. But if you're looking to do a live call-in, this is a tool you might want to look into. And I'm hoping that somewhere down the line, somebody will see this and go, maybe we can do it and add some competition to it. I would love to have something like this that would somehow tie directly into Skype. That would be awesome. So any developers out there, that would be cool, and podcasters would love you. Because at this point, what I would have to do, what if I have a co-host? Well, I would have to basically call my co-host on Skype and then do a conference call in to the phone line so that the phone line and my co-host on Skype are all together, so that if somebody comes in, you know, there they are. Or like I said, you could use your cell phone, plug it into a channel on your mixer and go that right, so you have complete control over their volume, and then send their audio to your co-host if you have one. If you don't have one, it's a lot easier. You could just, like I said, use the phone or just, you know, tie it into Skype, and that would be great. And then you can just bring up that audio whenever you want. There you go. So here again, it's web-based. It looks like it's got everything you need. And if this is something you're really looking to do a live show, that would be my first point. Realize it's harder to podcast live than it is to record it and have the ability to do it over again and over again and get the music just right and have it fade in at a certain level. Doing it live is a skill, and it adds a level of complexity. So I always say, you know, I know you want to be a radio person, and you want to be, just realize that number one, you're going to be putting out whatever, $3, $6 a month for a call-in number that may never be used, right? Because you don't have an audience at first. So keep that in mind. All right, next up, I have mentioned that I've been going out looking for kind of podcast pioneers to kind of go back in the day, and found Paul Vogelzang, and he was a member of the Mommy Cast. Now, for those of you that are just getting into podcasting, back in the day, the Mommy Cast was the very first podcast geared specifically towards moms, and they got a deal from Dixie Cups for six figures, and Paul is going to share kind of what led to that, what they did with the money, some things that you might, you know, what would you do if you got that kind of thing, and where they're at today. So super nice guy, was able to catch him on the phone. So here is, if you ever wonder what a Skype to phone call sounds like, here it is, my interview with Paul from the Mommy Cast. Do you remember when you guys started your podcast?
I do. I remember it very well. We started it in December of 2004. So, yep, I remember it well.
How did you guys start podcasting? Like, back then, there really wasn't much to, you know, figure out how to podcast. Do you remember how you actually figured out how to get a file to go up and come down?
We just started by trial and error. It was, initially nothing more than a couple of Shure microphones plugged into a Mac, and there was no mixer. You know, we were just trying to, I think at that time we were probably using Audacity. I don't think we were using GarageBand at that point. And I think we just did a lot of trial and error. And I remember very clearly too, I was listening to, the daily source code from
Adam Curry,
you know, and I was trying, and Adam was really, you know, he was all about trying to, you know, expand the universe of podcasting. And so there was a lot of teaching that was going on, you know, via his podcast. And we just, you know, we just paid rapt attention and tried different things. And, you know, I think throughout the course of the time that we even you know, did our show, we kept trying different things to see what would work and what wouldn't.
How did you determine if something wasn't working?
You know, it's an interesting phenomena, and you know this well. You know, I mean, you do hear from people. We very early on, we tried to be fairly predictable, I suppose, in our show delivery, so that, you know, kind of the show itself could get delivered at about the same time via our website, and then through the feed. Again, those were very early days. But we knew that moms were busy, and we knew that they really preferred something that was, you know, going to be available for them late at night. And through that kind of relationship, you know, because we were kind of meeting some of their needs, they were very much interested in kind of, you know, helping and telling us if the volume was too low or we hadn't, you know, kind of mixed something properly so it would... You know, again, we didn't really have a mixer, but if something didn't show up, you know, in the right way, they would let us know. And I think that stayed with us. And I think that really was kind of the hallmark for some of our later, work with sponsors, was that kind of feedback. So we learned, you know, directly from our audience about what was working and what wasn't.
Well, you mentioned that eventually, obviously, things led to sponsorships. Do you remember, were there any certain kind of milestones that you hit along the way that, I know the big one, of course, was Dixie. And, was there any sponsors before that one, or was that your first one out of the gate?
That was the first one out of the gate. And I think the milestone really was, you know, we had, you know, very casually been to see a movie. We, the four of us, Paige and her husband, Jeff, and Gretchen and I, who stay close friends, you know, remain close friends even to this day. We were close friends then. We went to see the movie March of the Penguins, and it was just a really wonderful family story. We decided, you know, just to kind of do a review of it. And lo and behold, somebody paid attention, and we actually, we were contacted by the studio. At that time, it was the Warner Independent Pictures, who was the distributor of the film. And we did a review of that film, and we loved it. And Warner reached out to us, and it was just, you know, one of those lightning strikes. And the vice president of communications at the time, she asked us if we would be interested in talking to Alex, the composer, and we just jumped on it. Warner then asked us if we would be interested in giving away CDs of the music from the soundtrack, and we jumped on that, and again we were so naive, we handled the fulfillment ourselves. And
oh wow.
And they gave us t-shirts, and then they gave us stuffed penguins to give away to our audience. And then Warner called back and asked us if we would be interested in interviewing, you know, Morgan Freeman. And of course, you know, he's an Academy Award winning actor, and
right,
and we jumped on that. And And that podcast was featured on the front page of Variety. Hollywood Reporter did a front page story on it. And you can probably still find a lot of that stuff online. iTunes at the time was just beginning to feature kind of the enhanced version of podcasts with embedded images. And so we took a bunch of, the Warner gave us rights to use a bunch of stills in the podcast. And so we sent that out, and that took off like a rocket. Once you start to get some of that press and that third party corroboration for what you're doing, you know, then we just, it was, you know, kind of Katie by the door. We really, things really just took off, and we did what you've recommended to your listeners. And that is, we prepared a media kit, and that media kit then got into the hands of advertising agencies, media buyers, and public relations agencies. And we started, you know, kind of down this path of a very, you know, kind of monetized show. And we all of us look back, and it was March of the Penguins that did it. We to this day have, you know, kind of the original movie posters framed.
And for those that weren't around to read the press back then, why don't you review the actual, what's the word, contract? No, what was the ad that they basically, when they came knocking with a really big stick.
That first sponsorship with Dixie, which resulted in actually a five-year relationship with them, you know, based on, you know, kind of metrics and a lot of different things, was, you know, just a very generous six-figure sponsorship that, you know, here's this little, you know, podcast, and again, it was just audio in those days, and between a couple of moms, and these moms were really, you know, just talking, you know, amongst themselves, if you will. You know, it was kind of almost a phone call that we then were recording. It wasn't, they were sitting next to each other, but it was really, you know, these two moms just kind of talking about their day, but in so doing, you know, invariably, you know, they would talk about the subject of what, you know, how their children were doing, you know, from a health standpoint, or, you know, maybe what the children were doing from an entertainment standpoint, or if there was technology that the kids were using. So all of it was very easily, you know, kind of pointed towards, you know, a potential sponsor if one, you know, were interested. And we found that, you know, that kind of conversation was of real interest to sponsors because it, in fact, was very real. You know, it was very genuine. It was, you know, nothing was scripted, and nothing certainly was, you know, there were no 30-second spots, if you will. We just would reference, you know, particular issues that were important to sponsors and then give our opinion on those sponsors. So contractually, what we did is we maintained editorial control. And we also made sure that we were working with sponsors that were, you know, very much, you know, kind of like-minded sponsors, you know, with kind of who we really were trying to talk with. You know, moms, of course, have, you know, high values. They're very interested in, you know, the morals that go along with raising children there. They're very interested in, you know, developing these people that, you know, their children, they're very interested in developing these young people that can be, you know, achieve whatever it is they want to achieve. And so we really adopted that kind of philosophy for sponsors too.
Now, the one thing you said it lasted for 5 years. Now, that wasn't a five-year contract. How many times did they re-up?
Yeah, so the first contract was 18 months, and then they went a second contract that was, got to remember this, I think the second contract was another 18 months, and then there were two 12-month contracts after that. So it resulted in about a five-year relationship with them.
Right. So obviously my point I was going for there, and you proved it brilliantly, is the fact that, well, obviously it worked. Otherwise, they wouldn't have signed up again and again and again. So and you have a great point there. You mentioned the sponsors. It is really about finding the right fit between your audience and your sponsor. You're just not going to pick anybody because, you know, sure, money is great, but they're not going to get any return on investment, and your audience doesn't want to hear about something that they could care less about. So it was a great mix of finding the right sponsor, and you guys already had a great understanding of your audience. So just a brilliant use of tying the two together. What's the one thing I think that there's got to be something that most people hear that, oh my gosh, six-figure ad, I would, you know, just retire and go to Hawaii or whatever. What's probably the biggest misconception about having a big ad come your way?
I think the biggest misconception is that you do assume that it's literally all, you know, kind of profit, and it isn't. I mean, we did make significant investments into the show. You know, we definitely upgraded our equipment. We, in exchange for, you know, kind of the sponsorship, we, you know, we committed to, you know, a fairly significant marketing campaign on our own to always, you know, use, you know, the technology and the, you know, banner ads and search techniques and to make sure and stay very relevant in all of our listeners, you know, in any location where our listeners might find us. And then we, of course, committed to doing some research on behalf of our audience so that, you know, we knew better what they were interested in, and we could communicate that with some credibility as opposed to just kind of a opinion. to the sponsors. And so I think the big misconception is, you know, yes, those kinds of numbers are great. And I think they do validate, in fact, this medium that you lead, that you're doing so well in, David. But I think, too, what happens is that, you know, you got to do something to make sure and follow up on the investment that somebody is making in you, and invest in yourselves, too. So we, of course, you know, was a very small little organization. It was just the four of us. And so we could afford to make those kinds of investments, not having to, you know, worry necessarily about paying ourselves. But, you know, I think you do want to try to take a little bit of income for yourself. But I think you do need to be, you need to recognize that with those sponsors, you know, especially a Fortune 100 organization, you know, they're going to require you to do certain things that are going to validate, in fact, you know, their sponsorship.
When did video come into the picture?
And after we did the March of the Penguins show, we ended up with a representation contract from William Morris Endeavor in Los Angeles. You know, they wanted to work with us, you know, certainly on the audio show, but they really felt like that the next step was going to be for video. And we were fortunate in that, I'll just be, you know, completely honest with you, we were fortunate that both Paige and Gretchen, my wife, are attractive women, you know, and so they could pull off a video, you know, kind of show and still be very much the moms that they are. So that was probably within about, well, we started on that, at least kind of thinking how we would do it within about probably 2 years of the audio show. So we probably had 150, maybe 200 audio shows under our belt at that point when we really decided that we'd, you know, continue the audio but commit to video. And that took, you know, again, as you know, that takes a little bit of planning. You know, we had to create a set. We had to find, whereas the audio, you know, there's that's the theater of the mind. And so we didn't really need any kind of, you know, visual backdrop or anything other than just, you know, Paige and Gretchen and you know, our intro and outro and our guests. And
that's, you don't think about that when it's like, hey, let's just do a video thing. And then it dawns on you, wait a minute, especially HD. I don't want to ever be shot in HD.
You and me both. I'm sure you do fine. I'm much more comfortable behind the scenes.
Let's bring it up, I guess, now, because obviously you guys started this, you know, a while ago. Mm-hmm. Where are things now?
So we really have exited the show. Both Paige and Gretchen have moved on. The show today is really in kind of a hiatus stage. The website is still live. You'll still find all the videos there. The sales agency that we worked with, Believe Entertainment, has maintained the website. And then the host that we'd begun working with kind of in, you know, in replacement for Paige and Gretchen, Brooke Peterson, is still actively participating in, you know, kind of the blogs associated with the website, as well as the kind of the Twitter relationship. And so, you know, there is, I suppose, at some point, you know, going to be maybe another version, although at this point we really are in very much a hiatus or kind of hold pattern. And I think that was, you know, again, you know, just in all candor with you and your audience, you know, as moms, you know, kind of get, you know, older kids in the household and get a little older themselves, you know, sponsors want a specific demographic targeted, you know. And so my wife and I have two boys, a 20-year-old son and a 15-year-old son. And that's not really the ages that sponsors, you know, Dixie isn't interested in you know, Procter & Gamble. They, you know, they want young kids and young moms in there. Right. And so it's a sad fact, I suppose, of what the video might bring with it. But the truth is that it was time for us to kind of move on, and that's what we've done. And so I think it's a very positive thing that the show did what it did, and all shows, you know, kind of come and go.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I always tell people, you know, if MASH, Seinfeld, You know, all the classic.
Yeah. There you go.
They all eventually come to an end. And it, people always say, you know, will you ever quit podcasting? And I'm like, I don't think I'll ever quit podcasting. I'll probably change shows and do a show about whatever my passion is at the moment. But, you know, things do eventually come to an end. Do you listen to podcasts now?
I absolutely do.
I figured as much.
I listen to yours.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Of course. Of course. I listen to Ray Ortega. I track what you guys are doing because I think you guys are the ones that are leading this, you know? And so I think it's a wonderful medium. It's one I'll never, you know, not be interested in, but I always, when I listen to you guys, I always learn something. And so I like that. You know, I think it is, it's something that, you know, is changing dramatically. You know, you got to think about it in all of these new ways. And I love the fact that you guys are exploring it in ways that are inclusive and expansive. You know, I mean, I think your whole role is to try and, you know, kind of keep it going. I listened to Michael Stelzner because I think he's got an interesting kind of take on social media. And I try to pay attention to, you know, some of the other videos that are being done out there. And I think that's where, you know, that's where it really starts to get fascinating is what people are doing with this medium in both of these two, you know, great kind of environments, audio and video.
You mentioned that after you got the ad, you had hired apparently, it sounds like a PR firm. Do you remember what before the ad, what you guys were doing to grow your audience, or was it just, do you think?
Sure. Yeah. And we actually, I'll just clarify. We did hire, it's the sponsors themselves would work directly with an ad agency or a PR agency or a media buying company. And those agencies would approach us. So what we were really doing was, you know, our job. I mean, honestly, I don't mean to sound flip, but we were trying really hard to do the best possible version of our show that we could do so that it would appeal to the biggest possible audience. And in so doing, I think that's what really ultimately brought about the awareness, you know, of the media buying companies, of the PR agencies. And so as they started, you know, contacting us, we developed a press kit and we developed a series of you know all these things, but I mean we developed a series of, you know, kind of PowerPoint presentations so that you know, so that they could you know, these media companies could download and find out, you know, about us. And our agent at the time, William Morris, they would supply these documents to sponsors too. So it was really, you know, kind of our just, you know, talking about us, kind of talking to our audience. And then I think others paying attention to kind of what was going on in the space and realizing that there was this very genuine, you know, kind of program geared specifically to an audience that a lot of sponsors and advertisers were very interested in.
Very cool. I was wondering about that because that seems to be the big question of, you know, how do I grow my audience? Do you remember, well, first of all, how long was it, weekly? Was it, how often did you guys publish? And do you remember how long it took to like create an actual episode?
Yeah, great question. So we would do one video show during the video time that we were working. We would do one video show a week. And we would do one audio show. Oftentimes, the audio show would be a more expanded version of the video, and then we would tease the audio show from the video. So if you wanted to learn more about this particular subject, check out our audio show where we would, you know, probably go into the typical video show was, you know, kind of south of 5 minutes. The typical audio show was 25 to 30 minutes. And so we would just provide a little bit more details. So the video we would, in terms of production, we would literally gang those product, you know, we would go into the studio and we would work for a day and we'd knock out, you know, kind of six segments and then roll those out, you know, as we needed to on a weekly basis. And then we'd be back in the studio. We always would go into this, if we had a you know, a very pressing issue, we would go back into the studio, or we would do a very immediate, you know, kind of audio interview. And so the audio shows, we would just do those one at a time, and they would take us about probably 45 minutes to an hour to set it up and then do the actual recording. And then another 30 to 45 minutes or hour, perhaps, to do kind of the edit of the ums and the ahs, probably a lot of what you're going to do with me, you know, to get all of the bad stuff out of it. And so that would take probably another hour or so. And then the posting and the sharing, you know, another couple of hours. So, you know, it was a full-time job for me. You know, I was doing it full-time for that period of time. I was working, you know, full-time on behalf of MommyCast and MommyCast Latina. And so it was, you know, it was great work. It was exciting. It was a lot of fun, but it was work. You know, you have, you know, you're busy, you know, you're correcting things. You're making sure that the show notes are, you know, properly transcribed. You're making sure that, you know, keywords are embedded properly. You're making sure to, you know, get people to share it and talk about it and comment. So all of that stuff, it happened very organically, but, you know, there was a lot of stuff behind the scenes that, you know, you did to make it happen.
Well, anything looking back that you could say, well, if I did that again, I wouldn't have done that?
What we found was that busy moms weren't really using Twitter as an example. If we had understood Twitter better, we probably could have engaged our moms better. And looking back on that, you know, we actually had some sponsors come to us and say, hey, why are your Twitter numbers so low? You know, and what is it that, you know, we can do as a sponsor to help you grow those numbers? And as you know, it's hard to artificially grow, you know, some of that stuff. And have it really be real. And so I think if we had paid more attention to how Twitter really is appropriately used for its audience, you know, that short form, very abbreviated, you know, kind of immediate, you know, connection, I think we would have done a better job with it.
Well, you guys are part of podcasting history. I mean, you guys were the first people to get the, you know, the first big sponsorship. You know, that's, you are a, you know, you're an asterisk there somewhere in Wikipedia, I would think.
You're an asterisk, absolutely. That's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like we said, you're kind of learning as you go along. All right. Well, Paul, thank you so much again, man. This will be the official end.
Okay. Well, thank you again. So nice to talk to you, and what a pleasure. And again, congrats for everything that you've got going on.
And there you go. So at this point on hiatus, it's interesting. I wonder when I listened to that interview, if they had just been audio, would they still be going? Because now on one hand, obviously they're not talking about skin knees and things like that. But I wonder how much, because if you think about it, every newscaster, every, you know, when they get the new hot blonde on the news 20 years from now, she's going to be retiring, even though she can still read perfectly fine from a teleprompter. It's an interesting thought on that, but a really great guy, really awesome that he took the time to come on and share with me. He'll also be on the Marketing Musician podcast talking about copyright issues, and that's kind of geared a little more towards musicians, but super duper nice guy. All right, now my favorite part of the show, and that is where I answer your podcast questions. And this comes in from, I'm going to butcher your name. I really am. Jeffrey Allen Plausch. I'm going to go with Plausch. That's probably not even close. From the PrometheusUnbound.org. That's Prometheus-Unbound.org. And of course, I'll have links to this out in the show notes at schoolofpodcasting.com/372. Says, hey, Dave, I currently use the Audio-Technica 2100 microphone plugged into my computer. Would you recommend the Seismic Audio Slider 4 to a podcaster who has never used a mixer before, who records podcasts over Skype or Google Plus, hang out on air with a co-host and guests or interviewees? Since the Seismic Audio doesn't connect to a computer, how does one go about recording audio on them? Do you have to use a digital audio recorder? If so, how do you set up things so that it sounds, so they sound from the mic goes into the computer for Skype or Google Plus Hangout on Live, and sound from both the computer and the mic go into the digital recorder? Great question. And first things first, if you're just doing Google Hangouts, this depends on how you're going to do this. And this is where that whole live thing comes into play. You don't need a mixer if you're not going to have any guests in your room with you, in your studio, because it's just you. And you can go directly into either your computer or you can go directly into a portable recorder. Then you can mix the music in later. You can mix in the transition. That's what I do. Now, if you're doing a Google Hangout and you want to have a bunch of sound effects and the music and things like that, then you need a mixer. And that's where you have to sit here and do things like, hey, here's some transition music. And you have to sit there and talk over it and hope that it fades in just about the right time. And, you fade it in and then you can fade it out or whatever. And if you want to play the school bell, you can. And, whatever. David Lee Roth.
Woo! Woo!
Right. And when it's all done. Now, the fun thing about this is I can see I have 10 seconds left till the music is over. So how about a little ha-ha?
Ha-ha!
Right. And, you think you can do it. You're not sure, but...
Come on, you can do it.
Right. So that's the whole joy of live. Now, I'm recording this live, but I'm not going to... It's not produced. I've left big empty spaces between the section about the call-in thing and between Tema's podcast, big empty spaces for me to mix in music, and I do that in post-production. But that doesn't answer your question. How do you connect a mixer to the computer? Well, there are two things. Well, there's really one thing. It's a cord, and on one end, it has a type of jack called RCA. And these are the typical things that you plug in, your CD player, your DVD player. They're kind of a round plug with a hole in it. I'll have a link to them out in the show notes. And then on the other hand, depending on what you call it, some people call it I think it's 3.5 millimeter. I call it an eighth inch jack, better known as a headphone jack. And that goes into the line in of either your computer or your portable recorder. So you could plug your mic into the mixer, and the mixer would then go out of the tape out jack into the line in of your computer. And then that would go into Skype, right? And you could tell Skype, hey, I'm using this, and go that route. Now, what you can also do in some cases, if you are just want to send your voice to Skype, you can use, again, the cool thing about the Audio-Technica 2100, which you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/2100, is you can send the USB version of it to Skype and the XLR, the big plug, into your mixer, and you could record the audio of your voice from the mixer and then send the other audio out to Skype. Now, that's not sure exactly the niche you'll be using that for, but there are times you can do that. So now the other thing is, if you're using Google Hangouts on air, my buddy Jim Cullison of theaverageguy.tv, he does all his shows live, and he uses Google Hangouts. He also uses Ustream. And what he does is there's a plugin you can add to Audacity, and you can actually strip audio from a video. So after you get done with your Google Hangouts on air, you log into your YouTube account, and you can download that video. You take the video, you import it into Audacity, and say, just give me the audio. And there you go. So depending on what you want, that's another way. If you don't have a portable recorder, you're totally depending on Google not to botch it. And I listened to another podcast this weekend. It's the Email Marketing Podcast. And he explained how he and his guest had, this was the second time they were doing the interview because they were recording directly into the computer and it botched it up. So last week we had Mark Maron. This week it was the email, oh, I forget the name of it. But I was listening to it, and I'm like, wow, I should do that clip. But it's something that happens on a regular basis. Now, by regular, I mean about once every 100 episodes, if you're lucky. But that's why I record into a portable recorder. And they just don't, they're meant to record. It doesn't tax your computer. You know, now, do I need one of those to start a podcast? No, you can start recording directly into your computer. I recommend if you, after you record a couple of shows and you're like, yeah, I want to do this, you know, put out the money, get a portable recorder and just avoid the nightmare of, oh my gosh, I lost it. So that's how you connect your, a mixer. And again, when do I need a mixer? If I'm going to be doing stuff where I want to mix in sounds live. Two, I have more than one person in the room with me. And so when I do a podcast with my wife, who occasionally joins me, I will plug in a second mic into channel two and I will adjust the volume so her voice is as loud as mine. So that's when you need one. What if I'm just a single person? Do I need a mixer? No, you can actually get by without it. Now, when you have a mixer, you can do fun things like this and turn up the bass and you can turn up the treble and kind of tune in your voice and make it real nasally. You know, so you can kind of tune your voice. Now, do I need that? No, because you can do that in software as well. So if you're just a solo podcaster and you're going to do everything post-production, then no, you don't need a mixer. You can just record your audio, throw it into your computer, and then drag and drop it in and move the music around. So thank you so much for asking that question, Jeffrey. And would I recommend it? Yes, absolutely. Now, would I recommend it to you? Let's see, you're doing podcasts over Skype. You're using a 2100. Unless you're doing things live, no, you don't need a mixer because you can plug your 2100 right into Skype and do your hangout. You can actually call people. Now, where I would record, where I would use a portable recorder is because you can record right there on your computer. What I do when I'm recording Skype calls, number one, I do use software for that. I use a thing called PowerGramo, but I also, I take a, again, whatever you want to call it, 3.5 millimeter or eighth inch jack on one end, and on the other end, it has an eighth inch jack. So it looks like it has two headphone jacks on each end of the cord. And I plug one into the headphone out of the 2100 microphone, which has a headphone jack, and I plug that into the line in of my recorder. And then you're like, but Dave, you put the cord in the headphone jack. How do you hear it? I put the headphone jack into my recorder, and now you have to hit record to be able to hear anything, but that's okay. And the great thing about that, whatever I hear is whatever I'm recording. And that way, again, gets the recording off of the computer. Now, I'm still using the PowerGramo, and I will use that version first because it separates my caller and myself into separate channels. I'll use that. But if for some reason that gets boogered up, I've got the backup on my portable recorder. So, Jeffrey, thank you so much for tuning in. And if you'd like to have your podcast answered, your podcasting questions answered, again, my email is daveschoolofpodcasting.com. You can also call in Saturday mornings. I love to podcast live. It's something I've been doing, and I'm getting it's definitely, again, like I said, it is a skill that you have to work on. But if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/live, you will see my schedule there and you'll see a player there and all the information about what you need to do to call in. And I'm going to be using the call-in studio. I'm actually going to throw in a couple shekels there and you will hear me doing that in the future. So that is going to do it for this episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. While you're here, hey, if you're looking to sign up, I've got a coupon code for you. If you use the coupon code LISTENER, LISTENER, when you sign up at the School of Podcasting, that will give you a discount on your first month. And of course, every month after that is only $5. And that is going to get you access to step-by-step tutorials, as well as all the resources. If you're looking for music, if you're looking for artwork, everything you need right there, self-paced, go through it. And as well, you got little old me to answer your questions via email. Now, if you're looking for something a little more hands-on, check out howtopodcast.com. That is starting very, very soon. You should do that right now because that only happens about every 2 months, basically. And so if you want to get a part of that, we meet for 6 weeks on a Saturday from noon to two. And I go through the entire process, and you can get your questions answered live. Now, if you want the fastest way, of course, you can hire me for one-on-one consulting, and we'll get on Skype, we'll share screens, and you can go say, Dave, look, this is what I need. I don't understand this part of it. We can get on, quickly answer that question, and get you off and going in the right direction. So again, you are never alone when it comes to learning how to podcast. That's what I'm here for, and that's what my passion is about. I'm a teacher by trade. I got 20 plus years of technical training, and I love to make the light bulb come on. So if you're in the dark a little bit about podcasting, come to the light. I will help you with that. So thank you so much for tuning in. Again, our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. Dave@schoolofpodcasting.com is the email. My Twitter is @learntopodcast. And we'll see you again real soon with another episode of the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Until then, class is dismissed. Thank you so much. God bless. Take care.